Chris.
Marcus.
We are back. It's a little pocket awareness. Guys, you guys know what to do. Follow us on Twitter, ALPA_QB1. Also on Instagram, same damn thing, ALPA_QB1. And then also on Facebook, a little pocket awareness on Facebook. And then also follow us on Twitter at TheMarkSeanNFL for me, at KingManellos for Chris. And then, of course, as always, pandasubs.com. Discount code TDL for 25% off. All right. I got to use this, Chris. I got too many intros now, man. This is too much.
Yeah, you got it, man. It's still as smooth as it was. You still got it.
I had to glide through that one a little bit.
Like, you still got it, brother.
Yeah, all right, bro. All right, man. So we're back to what? 20 through 11 today.
So 20 through 11 today.
20 through 11. I don't know how much disagreement you're going to have today, Chris.
I think that we're going to be pretty much in lockstep. I think once we get to about 15, 14, 13, we're going to start hearing some names that are going to make some people think some things.
Yeah.
So I don't think that we're going to do a lot of disagreeing this year because of what we said, you know, coming into the rankings in the last episode. The quarterback world is completely different now. It is not a lot of good QB play. I don't think that you and I will think that anybody other than maybe the top seven guys are actually good quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's going to be this is not going to be shocking for anybody.
I don't think it's going to be shocking at all. I think the guys that are probably 10 to 6 are guys that we used to think were like 15 to 11.
Yeah.
And the quarterback play is just so bad that they're top 10 quarterbacks now.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. I don't know a world where Matthew Stafford is top 5 quarterback 10 years ago. Same guy. Putting up a great number, same guy. He went from what was he back then? Like 12, maybe?
People had like, yeah, I think he constantly hovered at 12, and now you probably got him at like 6. Did I just nail that one?
I'm not gonna give it away. It's close. But my point is, like, if we did this 10 years ago, right? Because he's not better than Rivers, right?
Shoot, Marcus, if we did this 5 years ago.
I mean, because Matt Ryan and Rivers are still playing halfway deep. I mean, kind of halfway deep.
Still had Drew Brees 5 years ago, didn't we?
Yeah, Drew Brees, yeah. Uh-huh. Still had Ben Roethlisberger.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Who else? You still had Tom Brady?
Wow. Tom was around for forever.
But he was Peyton still in the list, though.
Peyton's been gone for more than 5 years now, hasn't he?
But Peyton left in 2015. That neck injury was the end of him. But he's just so great.
2015?
Yeah, he was just so great. He could anticipate so well. He got away with having Nick Mullins' arm. Touchdowns.
Won a Super Bowl with a noodle.
That last year, man, when he had like 7 touchdowns and 20 picks, like, it was just,
yeah, it was tough. But he's still Peyton Manning.
Yeah, and then he was like, you know what? I had a great defense. Let me just read the pre snap here, and just
Demaryius Thomas. Here you go.
Yeah, yeah, I feel bad for him for that, but you could like see it through like his time in Denver that he was gone. He was done after that neck injury. He just was so great that he made up for it. But, like, yeah, Brady, that's what I'm saying. Like, they're all gone.
Prime Aaron Rodgers.
Stafford, he's 12, right?
Could get past it. Fighting with Matt Ryan.
I mean, back then, shit, he's still fighting with Jared Goff. He's still fighting with Goff, man. Or like, I mean, Russell Wilson back then was better than him, right? Russell Wilson.
The 10-win Russell? That was prime 10-win Russell. I hated 10-win Russell.
Exactly. So, Yeah.
Man, what a different world.
Stafford's like, if I just play long enough, I could become elite. They'll eventually all go away, and then I'll be left here.
And now I'm elite.
Yeah, yeah. But anyways.
We're not going to be talking about him today.
No. We would be for it. I'm pretty sure, like, on our first list, I'm pretty sure we did talk about him today.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, 100% like, sure. He was that 50. I think he was literally 13, 12, 11, like right there.
Yeah, for sure. Did you see the Athletic list, Chris? Did you see the tier list of the Athletic?
Is that the one that was the tiers?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
How do you have one man by himself in tier 5?
I don't know.
That was disrespectful.
They had the 34 quarterbacks. I'm like, are you guys like, why are you asking about, are you asking like a camp battle? Who wins the camp battle? That's what it gets. That's when the tier thing gets weird for me. Like, why are we asking?
I don't like it. I think that was pretty rude to Kenny Pickett. Like, you're tier 5. Your best is a backup quarterback. It's like rude.
I mean, I guess you might start, so we got to rank you. That's basically what that was.
They didn't have to do him dirty like that. That was pretty rough.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily agree with tier 3 and tier 2 and the way that was balanced out.
No, I'm going to find this whole list here. Okay. What was your problem with the tiers? With
tier, I think they three? Had some guys in tier 3 and tier 2 that were interchangeable. I was surprised to hear some of the names in tier. Don't they have Kyler Murray in tier 2 or is he in tier 3?
Kyler Murray was 15.
I can't take it seriously if you're going to put Kyler Murray at 15.
Talent. It's a talent thing.
What talent? Okay, he's talented. He's talented. I won't go that hard.
Yeah. Because to be honest, my problem with Kyler Murray is, yeah, he had a good team around him last year. I don't care what anybody says. If he played better, they make the playoffs. That was a playoff team last year. So to put him at 15, that's my problem. Like, they're the reason why he's literally the reason why they didn't make the playoffs.
Correct.
Because the way he played down the stretch. Yes. So when you look at it that way, that's my problem with Kyler. Is like, that team was good enough. They had a pretty good defense, right? Pretty good defense, pretty good pass rush. I mean, the offensive line wasn't bad. They had a great run game. He has good receivers. He's pretty good. Great. Like, he's Michael got Wilson's good. Weapons out there. Marvin Harris, you know what I mean? Like, Trey McBride. Like, you know what I mean? They should have made the playoffs. And that's my whole problem with Kyler. It's like, when you watch that, it's like, bro, this team's too good for them to be whatever they finish, 8-9, whatever they finish.
I'm not disagreeing with you at all.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll happen again this year, too.
I mean, I thought they were really low on Geno, but that's just – maybe I'm being a Geno homer.
I think they're low on Jordan Love also. Isn't he in the tier – isn't he tier 3 in that ranking?
Well I mean, are they low on Jordan Love? I don't know, man. I don't know, Chris. I don't know.
We're going to have a conversation about it today. I know that's coming. I'm expecting that out of you.
What did they say about Jordan Love? A bit of a gunslinger.
Okay.
That's what I think. I mean, Jordan Love is a crazy. He's a psycho. That's what I was saying. I would say they were really low on Purdy. I think they're too low on Purdy. I think Purdy is... See, Kyler Murray's 15 because he's Kyler Murray and the talent, and Purdy's 14 because he was a 7th round pick. That's the, you know, especially with like defensive players and like coaches and like scouts. Sometimes they just can't get over that. They can't get over.
Oh,
that.
I
wouldn't have drafted you though.
I hear you, and I think you're correct.
I wouldn't have drafted you though. So like, are you that good?
Right. Stick with their guns.
You know what I mean? Like, I'll give you an example, because like the Raiders are playing Jordan Meredith at center over Jackson Paris Johnson. And really what that is that's John Spytek being like, your arms are too short, but you're really good on film. So if I drafted you, I would put you at center. So you're going to play center for us. It always goes back to the draft with them. I don't know. Like, what is that? What is that about?
That's ego, bro. That's ego. That's all that is. That's ego.
The draft is over. they're playing games. You know what I mean? I don't know. But yeah, I thought it was interesting. They agree with me on Drake over Caleb Williams, though.
Again, we're not fighting here. You're not saying anything that I'm going to argue with you about.
They're low on Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson was 26. Good Lord.
He's got some work to do in New York to prove to people that he's definitely not 10-win Russ. That's for sure.
I mean, they got the 10 wins last year. I mean, he was 6-4 Russ, I guess, last year. What, 6-4?
That's not 10-win Russ.
6-5 Russ.
That's not 10-win Russ.
Justin Fields, 27. Me and the NFL are right here, so to say. Me and the NFL, I see you. But, like, I mean,
it's like, the Athletic, bro. That's not the NFL. That's the Athletic.
Are you sure? I mean, you know, with these things, I do want to know what coaches are asking sometimes. Like, are they asking, like, okay, let's say.
Coordinators or, like, assistant coordinators or.
See, the thing is, but like, you're talking about, like, Geno Smith. I'm going to use Geno Smith as an example. He played for the Seahawks. Are you talking to a Bills defensive coordinator about Geno Smith? Did the Bills play the Seahawks last year? Maybe. Yeah, I think they did, but like maybe, okay, you could talk to him. But let's say you're not talking to us. Like, are you talking to a Steelers?
Right. Who are you getting the intel from? That makes sense. That makes sense.
Like if they like kept it in conference, like I'm only going to ask a NFC West defense coordinator about Brock Purdy, right? But if I'm asking like the Chiefs, C. Spagnuolo, like what? I mean, I guess he would know a little bit, maybe, because they played the Super Bowl, but like he doesn't know that much about him.
Right.
And these guys aren't super like watching every single team. They're watching the team they're playing next.
Yeah. There's not enough time in a day.
That's what's so weird. That's why when you read these things, like there's some executive who says something crazy that's really not there. They're like, it's like a narrative from TV.
Right.
Like he's never watched him, bro. Like, why are we asking him?
Right.
Anyways.
We're not going to talk about Chris Sanders.
I watched the film, Chris.
Whatever. They're not playing against guys that they're actually going to play against when the season starts. That's just the way it is. I hate all the preseason hype because it's always the same thing every year. Somebody has an unbelievable game. Shadur Sanders played unbelievable.
But he did it, though. But, like, he had some cool
plays. It doesn't matter. They're not playing against anybody. That's real.
Well, I think that's kind of the thing with Shadur Sanders. Like, he didn't play that great, like, on film. Like, he had great fanfare because he threw two touchdowns. But, like, on film, it was like, can you throw the ball past 30 yards, though?
You cannot say how somebody is in preseason.
I don't know about that because you know who looked really good? Cam Ward looked like the Titan. I mean, I don't know what the Titans over under on wins is, but like I went and looked.
Don't do that to me, Marcus.
And everybody listen to me right now. Take Calvin Ridley in fantasy. He's getting 152 targets because that's all he threw to the whole game.
Oh, I mean, you know, I could believe that being a thing because who's going to go to Treylon Burks?
150 targets.
Who's the other options? You're going to throw that Tony Pollard out of the backfield?
Tyler Lockett had a nice catch. Chris, I'm just saying, Cam Ward looked really good. Like he has anticipation out throw.
Listen.
He's like, he was anticipating. He was looking comfortable in the pocket, reading the field really well. And he has a problem, though. He reads the field too well because he almost threw a pick, but I saw the vision.
Marcus, I'm not playing this game with you. He's going to have a great first quarter of the season. The first four games are going to look good because nobody knows what he's going to do. Then we're going to get into November and December, and we're going to see the dip like this.
But Chris, what is the over-under on the tight? What matters if you're putting something on the over-under and they hit it? Seven wins is a hit, Chris. That's all I'm saying. Seven wins is a hit.
Well, you know, if they go 3-1 in the first four, you're in, it's a good start. It's a good start for you.
I don't know. I went and looked at the over under. I was like, you know what?
Let's use the past to influence what happens in the future. Rookie quarterbacks that have any type of potential have success in the beginning part of the season. Why? There's no film. There's no tendencies. That's just That's just the way it is. They're going to look great in preseason because they're playing against twos and threes. It's just the way it is. Joe Burrow's going to get hurt, and the Bengals are going to go 1-4 to start the season. That's just the way it is.
I don't know. I'm just it's just funny. It's like, I mean, because if they do improve, right, I mean, all he has to do is win 9 games to win the South, Chris. Like, you're not you got to think about this. It's a 9-win division. All he's getting, he if he hits 9 wins, he might win the South. So,
listen, Marcus, they play 17 games now, not 16 games. You got to get to 10.
I don't know. Not with the South. I don't know. I don't know with the South. We'll see. We'll see. Maybe. All right. So enough of that. Enough of that. Let's get to this list. 20 through 11. Like I said, I guess this is the tier two. No, this is tier three and tier two, technically.
Yeah.
Right. I kind of have it marked in tiers.
It's definitely tier three. I would classify this as T3 and the beginning of tier two.
You know what we didn't talk about, though? We should talk about – let's talk, I do want to talk about this. What do you think of the NFL having Joe Burrow number one? What do you think of that? Okay.
You gotta knock the king out of the castle.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. But
he's not number one.
To me, the thing is with Joe Burrow is that, like, I just think he's a little bit of a front runner, and you know, I don't know if people saw that clip, but like Tom Brady kind of took a shot at him. He's like, yeah, you could throw 40 touchdowns, but if you're not winning,
you gotta beat Mahomes in the playoffs, man.
It's Tom Brady, right? Those Tom Brady comparisons. He's the closest thing to Brady that we have. He's like, no, he's not. I win. I don't. What is this?
The closest thing we got to Tom Brady is Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, and also told me that clip also told me that Josh McDaniels just gets too much credit because he's like, I made the game plans. It's like,
yeah.
Well, you got Josh a job, so I don't know. Maybe you should.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's a personal Raider hate from me. All right. I don't like Josh. I hate Josh. I hate Josh McDaniels. If there's a person I hate in the NFL, Chris.
Dude, he's only good at one thing, being the offensive coordinator for the New England Patriots. That's the only thing he's good at.
He's good for being ignored by Tom Brady after the play call. All right. Anyways, back to this.
Number 20.
All right. Drum roll. Here we go. This is not shocking. Number 20 is Bo Nix. Bo Nix from the Broncos. Now, Bo Nix is Bo Nix. Everything you thought about Bo Nix, he's him. He's very, very accurate. He's perfect Sean Payton quarterback.
Yeah.
I would never say he's Drew Brees because Drew Brees is way tougher in the pocket. Let's keep it real, right? But I think with the good offensive line, which they have, a good running game, which they have, and a great defense, you could win with Bo Nix. Just not turn the ball over. He's always been really good in the red zone. That's probably the best thing that I remember. The Senior Bowl first 2 days, he was awful. Then it was red zone day. He was just tearing it up. And that's really him as a quarterback. That's why he threw like 27 touchdowns last year. He's really good in the red zone. And when you have that type of team where like they get turnovers and they can get him in the red zone, they can run the ball. He's just moving the ball slowly, meticulously, and he gets in the red zone. He really can cook there. It's just with Bo Nix, which I will say, there's just always that limitation. Because I feel like that there's not a lot of pushing the ball downfield with him. There's not a lot of – it's so tough with him sometimes. It's not a lot of, I would say, just being aggressive like when you need to be aggressive sometimes. Like if it's not a design aggressive play, like, you know, Peyton's not, you know, making it aggressive himself. I mean, he's always going to try to take the easy option. So as a defense, you can dictate how he plays. And I think that's always kind of like when you have a quarterback like Bo Nix, it's always a little bit – where he starts, you know, playing with his head, a chicken, like with his head cut off, because like the Chargers did that. Like the Chargers are like, okay, we're going to take away some of your reads and stuff like that. And he just starts running around. He's looking, he's at Auburn, right?
Yeah.
So like, you know, you got to get him out of Oregon, Bo Nix, into Auburn, Bo Nix to beat him. And it is a thing you can do, but like sometimes Auburn Bo Nix will still burn you. And he has good legs. So you got to kind of keep him in the pocket too. I think you got to keep him in the pocket, make him navigate the pocket really well, which he still doesn't do really well. And that's how you can kind of where his quirk's going to come in. But I feel like he's going to be 20 to 16, like for the next 5 years. So we're going to be talking about him. Like,
It wouldn't surprise me if he gets to 15, and that would be because of his situation. It's mm-hmm. not going to be the first time that you're going to hear me talk about a quarterback in the perfect scenario, and it is the cause for his success. Him being under Sean Payton and within this offense is going to be the reason why Bo Nix will be in this range for the rest of his career and will be a quarterback who's going to be talked about as a potential playoff quarterback because of where he landed and the guy that he's got teaching him. And he knows how to use his quarterback within the system, and Bo Nix will live within the system. He does a few things here and there, like you're talking about, when he was at Auburn. And then the stuff that he did at Oregon really fine-tuned his red zone play. Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more with what you saw at the Senior Bowl. But Bo Nix is going to live in this world because I think he's smart enough to know that if he stays within the offense, and if he's listening to Sean Payton and not ad-libbing, and if he can survive those chaotic moments when he is not getting the look that he wants, he will be, I would say, as good as number 15 on your list.
Yeah, I don't see him, like, dominating in the NFL.
No, this is a guy that's in the perfect scenario, and as long as he operates within the offense the way that Sean Payton wants him to operate the offense, he will have success enough where the Broncos will just keep coming up as a playoff football team.
Yeah, because, you know, to be honest, I mean, even with the Broncos, I mean, I don't know if they have enough firepower on offense too. Like, even like with him and Cortland Sutton, I mean, he forces the ball to Sutton like crazy too. He's like, you could. I was like, man, I get it, but like, bro, like you could read the field too. You don't have to throw to Cortland every single time, and he does that a lot. So. That kind of dynamic, it's going to be interesting to see how he continues to grow in that. But they just don't have a lot of, like, big-time receivers I mean, I could think of but outside of Sutton. Like, I mean, I guess. But,
Mims? Tim Patrick's not there anymore, is he?
No.
I don't even remember who their number two receiver is.
Is it Mims at this point? Marvin Mims?
It might be.
I don't know. I say this team over the summer, and I still don't know who it is. So says a lot.
all the big talking heads love Denver over your Raiders.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, I'll say this: Denver's defense is ridiculous. I mean, Zach Allen, Jonathan Cooper, Sertan, Nick Bitonio. I mean, Riley Moss isn't that bad. They just drafted Jahdae Barron. Yeah, they're pretty damn good on defense. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like, that's not shocking to me, but it's just gonna be interesting to see what Bo Nix how he grows.
Yeah,
does he get better or is he just this guy? That's what I'm interested to see.
Couldn't agree with you more. Could not agree with you more. Is there going? Have we seen the ceiling?
Yeah,
love that. Love that observation.
All right, let's get to 19. 19 is Russell Wilson. So I got Russell Wilson at 19. Not too much to say about Russ.
Not 10-1 Russ anymore.
Russ is – I can throw deep really well. And, like, right now that's about it. That's all I could do.
What is he going to do? Just throw jump balls to Jalen Hyatt?
I know he's going to run that offense, man. Because that's – we were talking about this last week. That's a Tom Brady offense too. Like, I don't know what he's going to do.
I don't know. He's like – I don't know what they're going to do offensively. I think Malik Nabers is going to get pissed this year.
See, I think no. See that's gonna be. I think it's gonna be. I think Malik Neighbors gonna have a big year because what Russ could do and what Malik Neighbors could do too is win deep. And Russ has a still can throw a great fade, and then he could a fade in the end zone. Those fades and those type of things. Like Malik Neighbors still have a big year. It's just like he's gonna have a big year because Pickens still did really well with Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson went out there. Pickens started to play better. So, like, yeah. Calvin Austin, like, a lot of the receivers were better. It's just, like, you're so limited with what you can do with him at this point. It's either short pass, and throw a fade. And then what teams start doing. Like, it –
yeah, too high, shell, man underneath. Then Russ has got to run around like a – chicken with his head cut off.
Yeah, he starts taking sacks. Because that's what I'm saying. Like, when he started off 6-0 with the – because he joined the Steelers, and they started 6-0 with him. And he was like – it was like, oh, Russell Wilson's back. And it was basically, they were running the ball, and he could just, throw it to Pickens. They put up, 38 on the – I mean, he dominated against the Bengals. He looked dominant.
Well, that defense, everybody dominated against that defense.
Yeah, that's true. But Like he still looked like he could really play in that game, right? But then as the season went along, and you just take away that deep pass, it's not the same. So, yeah. So now he's in New York, and I think he's good. I think he's gonna do well. Like to start off, right? He's gonna start off well, and then eventually we'll probably see Jackson Dart in there.
No, they gotta keep Dart on the bench the entire year. Don't you dare put him in this season.
I mean,
go to Jameis. Let him be crazy, Jameis.
Dart might save Dable if Dart does play well, and they'll make the playoffs. Some like that could save Dable.
Man, Scatabo's gonna save Dabo.
All right, yeah. Right. Scatabo's hurt right now, isn't he?
I don't know. He's got like some ankle or hamstring thing going on.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Marcus. Hit me with 18. Wow.
All right. At 18, we got Aaron Rodgers.
Wow. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I got Aaron Rodgers at 18.
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, and the reason for that is because Rodgers is a check down Charlie at this point. So,
but is that his fault?
Yes, Chris. Yes, it is.
It's his fault.
Yeah. It's
really.
It's basically like how conservative Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers was always a little conservative, but like he was the timely deep. It was a timely deep ball, right? It was
right.
Like perfectly timed at the right spot, right time. Yeah. Right. But like
now hated going across the middle of the field. Still hates going across the middle of the field.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's timely. Everything's timed up. But now it's like now he has like such a bad pocket feel, right?
Well, he would. So I hate that. He went to play for the Jets, and I don't want to say that I'm an apologist for him.
Yeah.
But he's a 40-year-old man coming off an Achilles injury. I think he had a groin issue and then a hand issue. Like, he played the majority of the season hurt last year.
Yeah.
But didn't he still put up pretty decent numbers?
Oh yeah, he put up decent numbers. But like I would 18, say,
Marcus,
Chris, like on film though, he's checked down Charlie. I don't know what you want me to tell you. Like he is Alex Smith now. Like he's that's kind of like how it is. I mean he's what like he went from it's hard. It's because I'll say this, Chris. My favorite quarterback film of all time to watch is his 2020 season. Right, like he was incredible. Okay. And to watch him now and just like,
you're gonna make me cry thinking of the good old days.
Like he was like incredible that year.
Yeah.
And like watch him now, it's like, bro, you know what I mean? It's just like, ooh.
Did he have, I don't know, like he didn't have time.
See, that's the thing. Like, I think he does have time last year. I don't think that line's that bad. I don't think they were that awful last year. I think that he has issues with just like pocket presence, or like sometimes it's just weird. Like, and I feel like I watched that a little bit in what was the last year he played in Green Bay, 2022, right?
So here, after watching him as long as I've watched him, and then I watched what he did in New York, the thing that he does that drives me absolutely insane is he will pass on his first read. And then he'll pass on his second read. And then he'll start to drift in the pocket, trying to create something. And then he goes to the check down. And I think that because of who he is and how he came into the Jets organization, he continued to do that. And with Devontae being there, he had no problem making the decision to not throw the ball on time to the open receiver, because he knew that he had Devontae and he could just do whatever he wanted. So I think his mentality of how he ran the offense is what you saw on tape. And he became a check down Charlie because he'd pass on all the reads and then he'd want to force the ball to Devontae. And common sense was like, I could throw the ball, but then you know how he always is conservative and doesn't want to throw the interception, and he checked it down. So I think that's what you saw on film, is that he probably passed up on a lot of open timing routes to try and get something bigger.
Yeah.
And then ended up checking it down.
Also, I don't think he's as accurate as he used to be.
Which really?
I think that's the bigger part of it.
I think that has to do with him being hurt.
Yeah,
and his body not cooperating, so he's compensating for his body, and it's throwing off his accuracy.
Yeah.
I think he's still, like, a healthy Aaron Rodgers is still as equally accurate as he's always been.
I don't know. I think it's that Big 12 behind you, Chris. That's a...
I don't know what you want me to say. I will admit there's some bias there, but I think if we want to break down some film together, Marcus, I can guarantee you that he's passing up on open timing routes.
Oh, I agree 100% what you're saying, but I just think he's just old. That's what I really just think.
He's old.
He's old, and he's not Tom Brady.
I think he's going to run into the same problems that he had in New York, in Pittsburgh, because we got a lot of similar characteristics going on there. An okay running game where they'll have the ability to run the ball. You got a one stud wide receiver. You've got a second option that's young. He's got a better tight end in Pittsburgh than he had in New York. But otherwise, like, it's basically the same offense.
Yeah, it's going to be by week 8, it's going to be Devontae Adams and DK Metcalf, because Devontae got to play with Jimmy G.
Devontae is not leaving L.A.
He ain't playing for Jimmy G either the whole season. You know that, right?
So you think Stafford's getting hurt and he's not going to play this year, huh?
I don't know. It's just, come on. This is like the ultimate, like, guy who really has a bad injury thing. And we're like, well, yeah, I think he's coming back to practice Monday. He'll be ready to go. Monday comes. Matthew Stafford's still not practicing.
Dude, if Matthew Stafford does not play this season, the Rams are not doing anything.
There's already a clip today from joint practice of Adams giving alligator arms on some throw that because Jimmy G.
Oh, yeah, he's not going to put his body out there. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Wow. You think so? Devontae and DK would actually be a pretty dynamic duo.
See, that's what Aaron Rodgers is going to be pushing. I don't know. Devontae's not happy over there, man. If you could just make that true.
You don't have to give a lot. You don't have to give a lot for Devontae nowadays. It's not like what you had to give up for Devontae.
I know, right? I mean, yeah, you get Devontae for like a fifth, right? Bring him over to Pittsburgh. I'm still surprised they haven't signed Alan Lazard yet.
If so. No, yeah.
All right, let's get to the next guy. Let's get to the next guy. I've been talking about this too long. All right, Tua Tagovailoa is 17.
Whoa.
Am I too low?
You put Tua in front of Rodgers?
What's wrong with that? I mean, I don't see what's wrong with that.
There's a lot wrong with that.
I mean, Rodgers didn't play well last year, Chris. I don't know what to tell you.
Tua played well last year? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, Tua played like Tua. Like, I don't understand.
Rodgers' check down Charlie is better than Tua.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
As a matter of fact, I don't know what Tua's doing at 17.
I think 17 is a great spot for Tua.
I think Tua should probably. I completely forgot that you didn't already say Tua's name.
No.
Tua should have been in last episode.
No. Tua should be at 17. This is Tua's career spot. 17 through 15. This is Tua is.
Absolutely not.
Because, you know, absolutely Tua not. Does really well is that first read, man.
Yeah.
he anticipates the hell out of that throw, and it's sure. always great. And yeah. you can run an offense with Tua. 5 yards
downfield.
I mean, Tua could hit the deep ball with timing. With timing, Chris?
No, he does not. No, he does not.
Tyreek Hill had like almost 2,000 yards with him.
Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle have to stop and wait for the football.
Not all the time. There's some good. They have good timing. If Tua has to hitch, yes. But if Tua's catch throw, it has to be a catch slide throw, Chris. It's a timing thing. Like if he catches it hitch, then yes, it's gonna be underthrown. But if I get a catch slide throw. The timing is there.
That's not a top 20 quarterback, Marcus.
Catch slide, you like catch definitely slide, not a 17 throw.
Quarterback.
I mean, it looks really good, man, when he's catch sliding and throwing. I'm just saying, it looks really good.
I don't disagree really with you, but guess what? Every quarterback in the NFL needs to be able to do that.
I know it's, but it's just like he's great. He anticipates, man. He makes some great throws off him. Like Tua makes some like great throws. I think people doesn't. He's underrated.
Bo Nix.
No. See, the thing is, I think he's underrated for like some of the wow throws that he makes. I think it's kind of underrated in that. Just it's like the anticipation throws, man. Like it will look like. Like there'd be like two linebackers and some way he like squeeze it in between them and like right to Tyreek Hill with timing and Jalen Waddle with timing. I'm telling you, it's impressive. It is. He does some impressive things. Like I have him at 17. I feel like I'm defending him like he's top 10, but I think he deserves to be here.
This is the new NFL, Marcus. This is the new 17's the new 25.
But what I'm saying here is that he. Just does some things that you would like on film. That's all. Like if he hits that, if it's, I tell you, the catch and throw, man, the timing. It's the timing that he has.
I didn't think we were gonna have a problem, but we have a problem.
I think
he is not 17.
This is where I had him last year, though. I don't remember this.
Yeah, well, you didn't have Aaron Rodgers at 18.
Well, Aaron Rodgers didn't play in 2023, so I just kind of like put it. I just like threw him at like top 10. Aaron Rodgers did not play well last year, Chris. I don't know what to tell you. 18 was gracious.
Were better than Tua's.
I don't even know about that. I don't know if that's true.
Do it right now. Look it up.
I'm going to look.
Make that comparison.
I had Aaron Rodgers pulling up here.
You will shut me up if you're going to be able to list multiple statistics where Tua is better than Aaron Rodgers last year. Rodgers did what he had said. Where even his worst years are better than average years for the NFL quarterback.
See, from a touchdown to interception ratio, Aaron Rodgers is good. But Aaron Rodgers had a 6.7 YPA, 63% completion percentage. He didn't throw for 4,000 yards, okay? And that was on, like, almost 600 attempts. So compared to Tua, who missed a lot of games, he was 19.
Oh, you're going to lead it off with an excuse.
He did miss a lot of games. So
Aaron Rodgers played through injury, okay? I can come up with excuses too.
But his touchdown interception ratio was not that far off. He was 19 touchdowns and 7 interceptions, but he only played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So if he plays 6 more games, he has more touchdowns than Aaron Rodgers. Let's keep it real.
Okay. Aaron Rodgers did he play all 17?
Aaron Rodgers played. Yeah, he played. He played every week. Played every week.
What was his touchdowns?
28-11.
28-11. So you're telling me, what was Tua 17 and?
19-7. I mean, that's only 9 more touchdowns in like 6 games. That's not
crazy.
Do you
know how hard it is for Tua to throw a touchdown pass?
He had 19. Chris.
Not playing this game anymore.
He played a little bit better. He played a little bit better.
All you gave was touchdown to interception ratio.
All right. Okay. Completion percentage 72-63.
Tua threw for over 70%.
Yeah, 72.9. Yeah, man. A higher YPA, not that much higher, but 7.2. I mean, if you want to get into some nerdy stuff, big time throws, Aaron Rodgers is better. I would say eight. Let's check out this ADOT. Let's look at the ADOTs here. ADOT for Aaron Rodgers is higher, 7.3-6.1. But this is 17-18, Chris.
Isn't that your MVP? Isn't that your MVP scorecard right there? Isn't that your metric that says who the better quarterback is?
Which one?
Which is ADOT?
I mean, 6.1 is really low. I didn't realize that. That's really low. But Chris, it's 17-18. I know it's Aaron Rodgers. I know you're saying that Aaron Rodgers is better than him. I get what you're saying, and I understand that. But I'm going off of last year. Okay, this is all off of just last season. Aaron Rodgers was not good, Chris.
Aaron Rodgers was average last year.
And Tua was Tua.
I don't know how to say you're making my point for me even louder.
So Tua was Tua. So Aaron Rodgers was not Aaron Rodgers. Tua was Tua. He's same guy. Right. You know, you get him out the first read. Okay. And, you know, Tua still has good pocket presence. He avoids sacks and stuff like that. It's just I just think the offense that Mike McDaniel runs to is way more simple.
Offense.
And it's way more simple than we
think. Tua is in the right situation. Tua is in the right situation for his abilities in the NFL. There's no other place that Tua could go, and he would be more successful than what we get right now.
Exactly.
And this is what we get.
All right, Chris. So let's keep moving. So next guy.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence.
Okay. Trevor Lawrence at 16.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence at 16. Now, Trevor Lawrence is you know, my favorite quarterback of like, wow, what the hell? Because that's basically Trevor Lawrence. I think Trevor Lawrence is so interesting to watch on film. Like, there's always some great throws on film, but then like there's times where he's missing things or like
he's Jekyll and Hyde.
He's like trying to make too much of a play. He's not very good in the red zone. Yeah, I think so. It's just not consistent enough. Like in the game, he's inconsistent.
Absolutely. You know,
right? And there's not really like a performance where you're like, you're watching him and he's like, he's consistently playing like where he could play to his highest potential.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, I think that.
Are we officially giving up on him?
Oh, I'll never give up on him. Like, if I was like a GM or something, I would take him. Because you never know if he's just the uniform is bleeding.
I mean, the way that we talked about him coming out of college and the way we talked about him in the first few years of the NFL, this kid should be a top 10 quarterback.
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying too. It's like, is it the uniform bleeding into him? But like, he just wasn't impressive last year. Like, he only had 11 touchdowns and 7 picks, Chris, and he played just as many games as Tua did, basically.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're judging Tua. I have this guy ranked over both of them. He probably should.
Again, you're making my point about Tua for me.
But it's just like passer rating. Like, he's never had a passer rating over like over 95 ever. Like, ever, Chris.
Really, if he can't put a big year together this year, I'm officially off of Trevor Lawrence, and he will join my Tua and Kyler Murray bandwagon.
Yeah, it is just like it's a fumbling, right? Fumbles a lot. Like that's not allowed to be talked about though with him is he has fumbleitis. He's a fumbler.
You've not only mentioned it, but we've discussed it thoroughly over the course of the last 3 seasons. I don't know how many times you need to say it.
I just don't get like the top 10 stuff. People say it's like are you watching film? You're just watching the cool throws. You're like, well, everything else, man. It's the receivers. If he had better receivers, you know, and then they give him like Christian Kirk and like draft a bunch of guys, Calvin Ridley. Well, yeah, he has Brian Thomas, but like, is Brian Thomas always open? I don't know. You know,
Brian,
what, I mean?
Like, what was that? Brian Thomas, Calvin Ridley, Christian Kirk, and Evan Ingram with ETN out of the backfield.
But the offensive line is, you know, what about the offense?
he gets a lot of excuses.
It's just funny, like being like a Raiders fan, like having Derek Carr. Like if you said that about Derek, you know, would you could say that about him too? But like, you would get killed. But like Trevor Lawrence, if you said that, it's like, you know, I guess he's just,
yeah, you got to feel, you got to be
better looking, I guess. You know what I mean? he gets a, like, and it's like the same guys who would say that about him or like say that about Trevor, because like, Christian. Come on, is Christian Kirk really that good? Come on, man, Christian Kirk. Calvin Ridley, come on, man. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean, Chris? It's just like, how many guys do you have to give him for it to be like he's not like going to carry Jacksonville anywhere?
He's got to do something big this year, otherwise he's on the wrong train, heading the wrong direction.
And he's got a CJ Stroud problem. He's got a CJ Stroud problem, and he might have a Cam Ward problem pretty soon here. But he's definitely got a CJ Stroud problem. He ain't beating CJ. I don't know if they might have beat them. Maybe they beat.
I think they can beat him this year. I think there's a little bit of a mess in Houston this season.
I don't know. I think CJ, he's got his weapons back. And you know, we'll talk about him next week. But like,
okay, there it is. There's a little teaser for you.
Yeah, but Trevor's got a CJ Stroud problem.
Okay. Let's head to 15.
All right, 15 is Raiders quarterback Geno Smith. Oh, Geno at 15.
Geno put some good years. He put some good time in Seattle.
Yeah. Geno
really
Smith,
really revitalized his career.
Yeah, he's really accurate, man. I didn't realize that too much before. I mean, you know, I've watched the film before, but it didn't stick out to me as much as this year. But I thought he played really well, because I think his offensive line was absolutely awful. And I think the way he navigated that and just the throws that he made, you know, in that offense and having to run that offense, which was awful too. I mean, I thought the offense that he had, obviously the offensive coordinator is gone. He got fired. But it was basically like the guy thought he was still playing at Washington, and he forgot that the NFL is a smaller field. You know, and like you can't line up a guy outside the numbers here and have him run a post like that's all the way outside the numbers and then come all the way across the field on a post route. And that's not going to work. Guys can start running into each other. You know, it's not going to work, Ryan. So Ryan Grubbs, obviously, I think he's back at Alabama.
At Bama.
And Bama's probably going to cook this year on offense. But it's when they're running into each other in the NFL, it's just not going to work. But I thought that he navigated it through well. But my thing is my issue with Geno Smith is that Geno Smith is kind of like a C8 thrower.
I remember us having a lot of conversations about him throwing into some very tight windows.
That too. I think he toned that down last year, but he still ended up throwing more interceptions because when you're in the red zone, which a lot of his bad interceptions, one, he starts to play some hero ball, but I think the red zone is a lot of anticipation.
Yeah.
Red zone, which he doesn't play well.
Not a lot of time.
Yeah. So you got to like see things. You got to see windows that are like opening in the back of the end zone. So a guy like might be coming that way. You might have to anticipate the window that he's going to hit when he's running on the back of the sideline, things like that, that I think are the problems with Geno. But I think if you have a run game and those things, I think Geno Smith is still a pretty good quarterback. You know, some people like to put him top 10. I think it's a little crazy, me personally. But I think the 15 area, and if he could play with some play action, some good offense, I think he can do that, but he's still just a little bit too much of a see it thrower for me sometimes, and like it really comes to bite him in the red zone. So
okay,
here we go. I'm running late. I think we spent 30 minutes on Rodgers and Tua. So.
Well, we finally had some controversy. It's the first time we didn't agree on stuff.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so my next one, Chris, you probably won't agree with this one either.
Well, Jordan Love at 14?
I got Jordan Love at 14.
All right. I can't be mad at you because last year was a little bit underwhelming during the regular season. He did deal with injuries at the beginning of the season, and we saw just some wild stuff out of him in the first half of the games. I don't know what it was about the Green Bay Packers and Jordan Love, but the way that they played in the first half versus the way they played in the second half were two different teams. And it was two different quarterbacks. What do we have? Jordan Love on three different occasions throwing jump, like weird, crazy passes right before halftime and like giving up pick sixes right before the half. And then he's got to come back in the second half and play hero ball. And he does it for victories that came out of nowhere. Jordan Love was very much a roller coaster for me last season. I can't disagree with you for putting him at 14. What I will say, number one drops in the NFL were his wide receivers.
Okay.
And in his two seasons, he has the most 20-plus yard completions than any other quarterback in the NFL.
Okay. All right.
So I still see a lot of potential, and I believe what we'll see this season should put him in the top 10 in your rankings next year.
Okay. All right. I'll say this about Jordan Love. Jordan Love is a madman. Jordan Love is a madman. Like he throws these passes, and I just be like, and I see the vision. Like, this is what I was talking about with Cam Ward. Like, I see it. I see what you're seeing, Jordan, but like, you probably shouldn't throw that. I know you think you can. There's three guys. And you see Jaden, and you like, if I see Jaden Reed and the guy, and if he splits those two guys, though, and I hit it in the right spot, I'll make it. But what if you miss, Jordan?
He hit a lot. He hit a lot in those spots that ball had no business making. Some incredible throws last year. Incredible throws.
And I think that's why I just looked at these stats, that when he was throwing a lot of picks and struggling is when there were like over 30 attempts. And I think he has to be too controlled with the run game for me to rank him higher based on like some of the throws and the talent.
That's fair.
Right? So I feel like without Josh Jacobs last year,
It would have been chaos. But also, like, I think a lot of that falls on he had some really good throws inside the offense, inside the structure that were just flat out dropped.
Yeah. And but that also goes back to them not getting him a receiver. Like, they think they can just put a bunch of twos out there. Like, you know what? And everybody thought it was so cool. And I said this last year, I'm like, get him a number one. Everybody's still like, hey, these twos, man. This is the new formula. I'm like, yeah. And that's not, no, it's not. It's not a new formula. And that's Josh Jacobs is like, man, we got to get this guy.
You're not wrong. And it seems now again, it's preseason. So I don't take a lot of it to heart, but from what's happening in these practices, Matthew Golden looks good.
Well, yeah. He was my wide receiver one this year. So
he looks really good. Now I'm going to walk that back. It's preseason.
Okay.
I'm going to walk it back. It's preseason. But I have a very high expectation for what's going to happen for the Green Bay Packers this year, and I'll dive more into that right before we start week one.
Yeah, he's a madman, bro. Like, that's really the best way to explain it. He's a madman. And
what do you expect? He learned from Aaron Rodgers, who learned from Brett Favre. They're all madmen.
So just as like as always when I stop it, because I always pause it when he's throwing it in between three guys. He's throwing it like when there's three guys around there. I'm like, okay, I get it. I get why you're doing this, but like, why would you do that?
I think that's a good place to leave it with Jordan Love. What's that? 14? Hit me with 13.
All right, 13 is Dak Prescott. I got Dak Prescott.
I can live with Dak at 13.
Even though, you know, I still like Dak, though. You know,
I know you do.
I really do like Dak.
You're coming over here, though. You're coming to my side. Coming to my side. This is not a $50 million quarterback.
I feel like this is like the $50 million quarterback range. So, you know, like I still think Dak is a. I think everybody that I'm ranking after this probably makes $50 million. Every single one of these guys, to be honest.
You're probably not wrong. You're probably not wrong. But it is a fact. If there's anybody that's making 50 that shouldn't be making 50,
it's Well, he's Dak. Making 60, isn't he? He's not making 50. He's making 60, right?
Did he get to 60? I know that when we were talking about what he's worth in his contract situation before he signed his contract, I'm pretty sure you agreed with me when I said he's not a $50 million man.
I gotta look up this Dak Prescott.
You might be right. He might have got 60.
Yeah, because and then Josh Allen reset the market by getting 55, and now nobody else can get that now. Because like you're not betting Josh. Why would I give you 55?
Oh yeah, Tua and Trevor both got 55.
I think they got like 52 because of Josh Allen. I think. I know Purdy got like 52 because of Josh Allen. Like you're not getting more than Josh Allen, bro.
Yeah. Sorry. No.
But like. I feel like I break these guys down every year, but you know, all the things I like in a quarterback, Dak does. Like, he's accurate. He has great pocket presence. He anticipates really well. I just think that, like, he has that, you know, that bonehead little thing where sometimes he just does something ridiculous. And I think it's just hard to win in Dallas with him, too. Is, you know, you got Jerry Jones who doesn't want to sign Michael Parsons. You know, you traded Amari Cooper before he was done, you know, for Michael Gallup, and then Michael Gallup. Knee goes out, and then you know you it's an IOI and CeeDee Lamb, and then CeeDee Lamb can't really play outside. CeeDee Lamb's a slot receiver, so then you have to try to find another outside guy, which they haven't been able to do. And then
they got Pickens. Pickens is the outside guy.
Yeah, that's true, George Pickens. And then now he has like no running back, like Rico Dowdle, I guess, but. Now he has no run game, so he has no help from the run game now like he used to. He is a lot on his back, and he's just like, I don't think he's that great enough to like.
He's getting old now, so he's a lot more just injury prone. And I think there's just such a mental block when they get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
We've seen the ceiling for Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I just think that he's just not.
It's over.
We've seen the ceiling. He's not going to get any better. I still think, like, but because, like, I mean, I would take over Geno Smith, obviously. Like, if he was on the, if it was Geno Smith or Dak Prescott, I'm taking Dak.
Okay. I'm not taking him over Jordan Love.
Well, I don't know. Jordan Love is a madman. Like I just feel like I think he's a madman that we haven't got that they had to take under control. They're like, well, they're, you know, because I was looking at Jordan Love stats, Chris. They came out last year. You know, they paid him whatever, right? They came out last year like, you know what? We could throw with Jordan, right? And he threw like half his interceptions in those games, and they're like, you know what? Let's play action, run the ball. And he didn't throw like an interception like till the rest of the season. So I think he has to, you know, he has to be reeled in still.
We'll see what happens. Hashtag we'll see on Jordan.
You got a real Jordan. Jordan's a madman. You can't throw the ball 40 times with him because he's, like he said, he's going to see Jaden Reed.
Yeah, but split,
three safeties.
Dak does that stuff too. You wouldn't shut up about the windows that Dak was throwing into the last 3 years.
But it's more anticipation. There's a more intermediate routes, Chris. This is. You're talking about like Jordan Love seeing Christian Watson running a post, and there's three safeties.
He threw some beautiful balls into triple coverage. They were just perfect. And the only person that put his hands on the football was a Packers wide receiver. It was gorgeous. I loved it. But that's not the point. Tell me about number 12.
All right, number 12. Brock Purdy. No Brock Purdy here at 12.
Okay.
Okay. So, you know, the thing is, I really like Purdy. I think Purdy too. I think Purdy does a lot of great things. Very anticipates really well. I think he played way better than he did the year before. I don't even remember what I had him ranked, but I thought he played a way better in a worse situation. I thought he showed more of like what he could really be as an NFL quarterback, and I think there's going to be some growth where he could become one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. Because I think that just for what Shanahan likes to do, right, I think he's a little bit of an opposite mindset. Like, I feel like that. I feel like there's going to be like a video of him, like in a couple of years, of him and Shanahan yelling at each other, because I feel like that he's like that type of guy. Well, yeah, and I'm being serious. Like
he'll have earned the ability to yell back
at Kyle. Like, I couldn't imagine. Yeah, I'm sure Kyle might bench you if you yelled at him. He's like, you know the guy behind you. I could just click a point with him too. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, this is like, you're me, Brock. You're not anything. How many MVPs you make, Brock? Huh? That's what he would do. But anyways, but back to the point. I think that, you know, Purdy can, like, do a little bit of things outside of the system. But I think, you know, making plays and getting out of the pocket, you know, he anticipates really well. Like, he runs Shanahan's offense perfectly. He knows everywhere where to go, when to go there. I think with a lot of things with Purdy, though, is, like, when it's time – to like make a kind of a guy make a play, he might just like does like kind of like what Jordan Love does, but he doesn't have Jordan Love's arm, which you'll see like Kittle running and he's like, you know, it's George. Let me just toss it up to him. And then he'll like underthrow it because his arm's weak. It'll get picked off and it's like in the red zone. And you're like, what the hell, Brock? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So I think he has a little bit too much confidence in the 49ers receivers, which it makes sense that they've been together. They probably all like each other. I think him and Juwan Jennings look awesome last year. And then you have
Yes, he did.
There's going to be some really great offense they're going to do this year again, having McCaffrey back. I think he's going to have an even better year, right, to be honest. And so it's not really too much bad I want to say about him because, like, I think he's just so steady and, you know, he's boring. And, you know, he's a seventh round pick, so everybody's going to, you know, act like he's a seventh round pick. But I think he is a he's a good quarterback, though. He is. I mean, he's proved it to me. So
I think you've nailed it. I think you've nailed that right on the head. Go straight to 11, sir.
All right, let's get out of here. Jalen Hurts at 11.
Thank you for keeping him out of your top 10.
Jalen Hurts at 11. Now, Chris, you know I like Jalen, though. You know I do like Jalen.
Listen, I'm a fan. Jalen,
I've been a fan for a while.
Jalen is another quarterback that is in the best situation possible for
ever,
what he
to ever exists to ever exist.
He cannot go to any other team into the NFL and replicate what he's doing.
No, Chris, you're downplaying his situation. Let's keep it real. We talk about guys with situation. You're downplaying it. Okay.
He can't go anywhere else in the NFL and do what he's doing.
Let's just talk the team around Jalen Hurts before we get out of here, okay? And while Jalen Hurts proves my point that I've always made on this damn show, that all you need with the quarterback to win a Super Bowl is a game manager on a great team who doesn't turn the ball over. And Jalen, the year before, what did he do? Turn the ball over.
He turned the ball over. Like,
okay, we're going to give you Saquon Barkley.
He's the guy. He's going to make those throws. And then wait a minute. He can't make any throw deeper than 10 yards.
No, see, Chris, he could do that, Chris. He could do that. It's timely. It has to be on time. You know what I'm saying? And I think he's a little bit more aggressive than you give him credit for. I think he's a little more aggressive.
I don't disagree with you, but he is aggressive. But, like,
he still doesn't see the field well, right?
No.
So it's like it's a lot of things like that with him. Like,
you want an aggressive throw? It's just like Tua. First read, that's where the aggressive throw is going.
Yeah, exactly. But I'll say this. Like, he definitely proves my point that if you have a good quarterback that doesn't turn the ball over, and especially with his running ability and then what he does for Saquon Barkley, because you have to worry about him running, right?
Behind a great offensive line.
Behind a great offensive line, you can win a Super Bowl. Like, and he proved it, right? And Because that's my thing. Like, because you just think about the team. Like, you got Lane Johnson, Jordan. I can't anyway. Exactly. I mean, Leonard Dickinson just got hurt this year, but then they replaced Jason Kelce with Cam Jurgens, who's pretty damn good. Yeah. And then you got AJ Brown, and you got Dallas Goedert, you got Saquon Barkley, and you got Devontae Smith, and then you have and then Kenneth Gainwell probably could start on a lot of teams. To be honest,
loaded,
right? And then you add. Let's go to defense. Oh. And then you got Jalen Carter. You got
the defensive line by itself.
I think they lost a couple of those guys. I think they lost Josh Sweat, but they're replacing him with Nolan Smith, and Jordan Davis is replacing Milton Williams. But Jordan Davis is not maybe a pass rusher, but I think they'll be fine there. I think they signed somebody else probably that I don't even think about. That's probably incredible. Then you got Quinyon Mitchell. You got Cooper DeJean. Right, and then
those two getting drafted in the same draft hurt my feelings so badly.
Yeah, and then at safety, I'm trying to think. I mean, you got Reed Blankenship is pretty good safety. I think Chance Gardner Johnson might be gone. He got hurt.
I think he's gone too, and I think he got hurt.
Yeah, loaded. That's loaded. And he does his job. He did his job last year. Right?
And Saquon you can't be mad at him for doing what he needs to do. And he's a great
game manager, Chris.
He's got the off the field side of the ball. He's got the off the field stuff too. The intangibles. Thank you.
Yeah, leaders. He's a leader. Great.
He's got that leadership stuff. Like, he is great at what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God he's in Philadelphia so that he can just do exactly that.
Yeah, but
don't you tell him to throw the ball 50 times a game. Don't you tell him to throw the ball 35 times a game.
And we are going to see another clip of AJ Brown yelling at him at some point this year because
he's got to go back to reading on the sidelines to woo-saw and rub those ears. AJ's going to do what AJ's got to do.
Yeah, because I'm sure he is frustrated for AJ. I'm sure he is, but like that's not his thing, man. His thing is to play within the offense. Like, you know, don't turn the ball over.
Get the ball out.
Yeah, not, you know, hold on to it. And sometimes he will hold on to it too long still and take a sack, even though with the best offensive line in the league. Yep. But those things, what I'll say with those things is that like. It works because he's such a great game manager. And I think there's such thing as elite game managers. And that's kind of what Jalen Hurts is, right?
Absolutely.
He's an elite game manager. Right? And
I would
you can win Super Bowls with those guys. Like,
the guy you got at 12 is right in that world too.
Yeah. And you can win Super Bowls with elite game managers.
Yes, you can.
Right? You really can. Like, they don't have to be Josh Allen. You know what I mean? All the time. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what kind of gets lost with Jalen Hurts. And people get mad. Like, people are probably like, why? Oh, he's a top 10 quarterback. Like, is he though really? Like, do you really feel that way? Like, if he didn't have a Super Bowl, would you feel that way?
Nope.
Exactly. So, like, you know?
I think we got a career 11.
Yeah. I mean, I had him like 17 last year. I remember that. I was low on him because he didn't play well.
I've always been low on him.
Yeah. All right, Chris. That's the list for today.
All right. Top 10 incoming.
We had to argue about Aaron Rodgers' placement, but Chris, I think Chris will get over it. I think
it's because you put Tua in front of him. if you would have flip flopped them, I probably wouldn't have had an issue.
Okay. All right.
Actually, I probably would have had an issue with where you put Trevor Lawrence in front of him. But that's for another time.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers should have been 16 to you, is basically what you're saying.
Yeah.
Right? I would put
Rodgers in front of Tua and Trevor Lawrence.
Okay. All right, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed this. You guys hit the subscribe button, and then we'll keep be back next week with a 10 through 1. 10 through 1. I think this is gonna be fun.
I don't think I can disagree with you.
All right, guys. We're out of here. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Peace.